everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 076, the Spooky 3 edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, everybody, we have a great show lined up for you today. As I said, this is the third spooky podcast that we are putting out today. We tried to do our best to locate the best in spooky pod safe music. A whole bunch of tech tidbits lined up today. Plenty of great caffeinated bits for your listening pleasure. Hopefully for your tasting pleasure as well. But yeah, we have great... This is just going to be a good podcast. I have a real good feeling about it. I think we're going to do a pretty good job today for you. So again, in the background, we have the great music from the PodSafe Music Network. This is the Delicate Art of Noise Pollution and their song Spooky Funk. So if you want to hear it, you can click on the link in the show notes located at www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com. All right, well, first up, we'd just like to say that thank you to GoToMeeting for being our sponsor. GoToMeeting, try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a 1 hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. Promo code PODCAST, P-O-D-C-A-S-T. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, everybody, again, thanks to GoToMeeting for being our sponsor. It's kind of cool to have one of them and see exactly how we're going. I'll let you know how everything turns out. We're almost through the first month of servitude to the sponsor, so everything's going pretty good so far. I think the ads have been overall very unobtrusive, considering some of the stuff that I've seen recently. One example of really obtrusive advertising that I've actually seen lately is my wife's upstairs right about now watching the Halloween on Ice or something like that, and it's sponsored by, like, Glade. So first of all, they have the boards for the hockey rink that they're doing this in covered in the Glade advertising. And then second of all, some of the lighting that's actually on the ice is like Glade logos circulating around and spinning, like as if you might forget. Now, you know, I'm a fan of getting paid to do something, but if you're going to have something that sponsored, I mean, that branded, do you really still need commercials at the same point in time? I mean, because how many people are getting paid here? I mean, this is pretty over and above, if you know what I mean. So we'd like to try and keep our advertising unobtrusive, just put it right up in the beginning so that you know that it's there, you know who brought you the podcast, and then we move on to all the good stuff that you're here for. So again, from the PodSafe Music Network, in the background you're hearing the Delicate Art of Noise Pollution and their song Spooky Funk. I'm just addicted to this. This is going to be my theme song for the Halloween here. We're rocking out and to this song, and up first from the PodSafe Music Network, we have another song called from a band called Crazy Babies and their song Ducking Demons. So let me know what you think of this one. Again, here's Crazy Babies and their song Ducking Demons.
Knocking, I can tell by the sound at the door. But I pick up the phone.
Again, that was Crazy Babies and their song Dugging Demons from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So, we're really proud to have the whole PodSafe Music thing working on our angle, have a whole bunch of stuff lined up to get you going on this Halloween week, and we'd also like to announce first and foremost that there will be an episode of The Caffeination airing on Halloween. So we're trying to include all the spooky stuff that we found on the web, collecting all the best music from the PodSafe Music Network that we found, and we think you're going to be really pleased. There's actually one song that we found which we cannot wait to debut here on the show, really definitely tune in. That's going to be this Tuesday. It'll hopefully be posted first thing in the morning so you can get it before you go out to work or whatever else. It's going to be pre-produced, so there's not going to be too much extra content in there, but we're going to have three songs from the PodSafe Music Network, all, as you've seen for the past couple shows, all going to be directly related to Halloween and spooky and stuff like that. So we're just having fun with it, basically, because, I mean, honestly, Halloween is probably one of my favorite holidays of the year. It just has this whole ambiance all its own. That and it's the Celtic, Gaelic, Wiccan New Year, at least I believe it is, but still, I mean, it's just a really cool time of year. I love the fall. It happens to be my favorite season, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere. Everything's just starting to get chilly. The leaves start to turn colors, and it's just such a gorgeous time filled with wonderful food to fill the soul and the heart and the belly all at the same time. And it's also the first time in a long time that you can actually enjoy my favorite food of choice, soup. So we're going to move right along here to the Tech Tidbit section here at the Caffeination, and we're going to be talking a little bit about RSS. Now, we had a listener email in and ask us a little bit about RSS, you know, what is it? He knows what it is generally, but he's not really sure about how it works and how it can work for you. Now, I'm hopefully going to be able to solve a little bit of this problem. But first of all, we'd just like to thank our listener Michael for emailing in, gave us a little bit of comments about IE and a bunch of other stuff, but also gave us a link you're going to hear a little bit about later on in the show. But and he asked us to play a song from Weird Al. So far, we have not gotten a response from Weird Al's people, so we can't say yes or no as to whether or not we're going to be able to play it. I like to stay just this side of the law when we're doing this kind of stuff, because record companies are a bit nasty when it comes to doing this kind of thing. So we're going to stay on the straight and narrow here. I'll be a rebel on my own time, if you know what I mean. So, but still, he knows what RSS is, and for those of you who don't, RSS is real simple syndication. Basically, it's just a stream of XML content. It's just a stream of content from your website, web page, or whatever that gets pushed out. So, like little RSS readers or client applications across the internet go to your website. They have a constant static file name that they reference. So, for instance, for our website, it's caffeination.com/rss2.xml. That's the RSS feed. This feed, if your browser looks at it, is updated whenever we put new content on the website. So, for instance, if you were to look at the Caffeination website, caffeination.com, then you would see, you know, constantly updating stuff, but like the format changes. What RSS does is it basically boils the format down to one simple way that it's like a standard that all news readers can see. So there's a bunch of news readers that are out there. Actually, Firefox 2 supposedly has a very good news reader. And I mean, I've only tried the headlines section on it yet. I haven't really tried the intrinsic functionality of it yet. But I'm a real big fan of doing the I just, I'm a real big fan of Thunderbird's RSS feeds and how that manages everything. So if you've ever had a chance to try it out, basically any news website, any blog that you read, there's always a little orange button on there that says RSS. So what you can do is you can go there. If you have Thunderbird installed, this is how you do it. But you go there, you right-click on the RSS feed button, and you say copy link location or copy link. You go into our Thunderbird, open it up, and you say add news feed if you have the thing already set up, and then you just paste the link in there. What it does is it goes to the website and then pulls down the last 10 or so posts from that website. Now, what it does is it keeps them archived on your computer so that you can go back and look at them if you want. So you might have to clean it up every once in a while. I hope that kind of simplifies what RSS exactly is. Now, RSS in relation to podcasting is this. It's the same thing except along with a link to the content or the posting that's on the website. So, for instance, this is going to be Caffeination 076 Spooky 3. Along with the link to that post, there's going to be something at the end called a media enclosure, which basically means in order to properly view this content, you need to snag this media content hosted at XYZ server. So that's how podcasting works. It's a constantly updated stream of MP3s that come into your computer. So if you're listening to this podcast in iTunes, you're already using a form of RSS reader. If you're listening to this podcast just going to the website, yeah, you might want to try it in iTunes, Google. There's a whole bunch of different little buttons there that explain a little bit better. If you still have questions, anybody wants to know exactly how RSS works, all that stuff, feel free to email us at caffeination@gmail.com. Actually screwed up my own email address there. And you can go to myspace.com/caffeination and join our friends list and post a question over there. So we're pretty open to the way we accept user content. So thanks to everybody who emails in and writes in and gives us your opinion of the show. So far, everybody seems to be liking the direction that we've gone here. Just keeping to go, you know? All right. First up, again, from the Tech Tidbits section, we have IE7. Your grandmother will be forced to upgrade. Grandmothers of the world be ready to be forced to upgrade, actually. News at 11. That's how it's linked up on the show. Yeah, I know I keep trying to be funny, but still. Can you tell I had a little bit of coffee today? I don't think there's too much air in between my words. So I'm pretty sure all the listeners down south are like, ooh, slow down, man. All right. Now, that's not to be mean to anybody in the southern portion of this country, but every once in a while I'm talking to somebody on tech support, and they said, you know what, man, you got to slow it down and add some twang, because I can't understand a damn thing you're saying. So, you know, it's all good-natured fun around here, but still, here's the gist of the story that we're trying to get to. With the new version of Firefox, you're not forced to upgrade. If you're still running Firefox 1.5.4 or whatever the latest upgrade of that is, you can stay running that as long as there hasn't been any plans to force out the new version. I don't think there's a way for them to force out a complete new version, you know what I mean? But if you're running Windows and you're running IE6, or if you're just running Internet Explorer that came with your computer, then you're going to be forced to upgrade to IE7. Now, as far as I can tell, this seems to be a relatively safe and secure upgrade. In fact, you're probably going to be experiencing things that you've never seen before. So unless you've used some of the other browsers, there's going to be fun things coming out like tabbed browsing. Basically, this is in one window. You're going to see a bunch of little tabs that go across the top. And in those tabs, like, you can view different web pages on each one. Now, I haven't played with IE7. I'm actually going to be installing it in work this week just to see exactly how bad it breaks some of the websites that I've designed. So we're going to see how that all works out. And I know I promised that I'd talk to you a little bit about exactly what the next version of Office is going to do to everybody. And I'm going to have to talk about that in the next full show. That's going to be on Wednesday of this week. So please tune in for that so you'll hear exactly what they're planning to do with the documents and the .docs files, so you'll see exactly what people are complaining about, but alright. Now we have the food tech section. Now, I decided to make this a subsection in the Tech Tidbits because I am a big fan of food, and if you've ever seen me, I'm a pretty big fan of anything, but still. We have basically the tagline for this is food tech because a geek gotta eat. Alright, now the first thing we have up here from the sci-fi blog is it's a fridge hidden inside a table. It's just a round table, looks kind of like a linesman's spool, if you've ever seen one of them. My dad actually has a table that's built somewhere similar to this. When he used to do general contracting work as an electrician when he was younger, He took home a giant spool that the wire comes on and cut the bottom out, and then used the top as its original size and put a little piece of glass across it. Now, this was our... Apparently, this was my parents' kitchen table for a while because they didn't have very much money. But, I mean, I just thought that was cool, and it's still in the basement of my parents' house as far as I can see. But now take a spool of wire with a smaller wheel on the bottom, bigger wheel on the top for the actual table setting, and then sink a giant fridge into the middle of it so that it comes up out of the middle. And it seems to be pretty cool. It's called the Smart Fridge, and it looks kind of like the chessboard from... Star Trek Next Generation has definitely a futuristic quality all about it. I mean, I like the idea of incorporating stuff like this into the general home, you know, taking one appliance and putting it into something else, because there's a lot of wasted space if you really think about it. I mean, a dishwasher and an oven, they could be the same thing, right? All right, moving on, never mind that. Now, next up in the food tech section, we have a Porsche-designed toaster. Now, we had the toaster up here last time that has the completely clear glass, and this is somewhere similar to this, but it's a toaster oven, or not toaster oven, actually, just a toaster designed by the same people who designed Porsches. So it's not like a new Boxster or anything like that. It's not the new Porsche 911, but it has like the carbon fiber steel wrapped around the bottom, and then it has two what look like wire racks sticking up. So it's $224 because there's a quartz heating element. Yeah, it's just crazy. So I don't know why anybody would spend that much money just to have a good-looking toaster, because I'm pretty sure if you're that self-absorbed, somebody makes your toast for you. So, all right, moving right along. Now we have a section of non-edible food, but apparently there's a large market for cell phone... what are these called? Charms. They're like little things that hang off the end of people's cell phones. They're really popular in Japan and a couple other places. I'm not really sure. I haven't seen too many of these. I know maybe one or two people who have them, and they're usually like a Winnie the Pooh bear or something like that. And yes, these are actually people in their 20s, but still. I mean, hey, it's pretty cool. It's a element of personality that gets injected into technology, which is always very cool, but still. There's a new brand of these coming out, which actually is made up entirely of food items. So there's a little charm with a hot dog, a Big Mac, a bagel and lox, some kind of weird-looking sandwich, and a chili dog, I think. But it's just crazy, so I thought I'd link it up there, and you can find all the links over at caffination.com. That's caffination.com. All right, and now, every once in a while, I mean, I think it's because iPods are so ubiquitous. I mean, everybody seems to have one, that there's just like a bevy of companies out there who say, you know what, I don't think anybody's tried this exactly when it comes to iPods, so let's see if we can pick a niche market out of something. So I know a lot of geologists who might think this is kind of cool, but there's now, they call this the Tau of iPod iStone docking stations. It's an iPod docking station built into a piece of rock. And they're like real rock, apparently. So it's pretty cool. They also have the video iPod that supports the S-Video out hookup and output for a TV. So it's a pretty cool. I mean, these are a couple pounds of serious rocks, so you can find them also over at the Sci-Fi blog and link directly off our show. I mean, I like the idea of them, but it's like, wow. It just seems like, I don't know, there doesn't seem to be any kind of felt or anything on the inside of these holes to prevent your precious iPod from getting scratched to hell as you drop it into a piece of quartz, but still. And then, small aside from this, but that's not the first rock concert that ever happened, but the first rock concert was apparently in, 1890, area right around here. There's a place called the Ringing Rocks. It's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, United States. There's a field of rocks. It's a glacial deposit, so there's a giant field in the middle of woods that's just this large deposit of rocks, and they're strewn about all over the place, but they have a strange quality with them. Each rock, when struck with a hammer or some other rock, actually makes noise. So if you listen very closely, we're actually going to demonstrate this. So this is what it would sound like if you hit a rock with a low tone. That's not the hammer making the noise, that's the rock. Here's what it sounds if you get a medium tone. I know this is weird. And higher. And finally, the highest tone that they have listed on the site. Alright, now, I know that's a little odd for you, but apparently in 1890, Dr. J.J. Ott collected a number of rocks, which ranged from different pitches, and tuned them all up, and then he found a selection of musicians, and they played the world's first rock concert, and they jammed, so this is 1890, thought it was kind of relevant, kind of goofy, so we just went with it. Hope you're interested in that. There's a great website called theunmuseum.org, and it, they just have loads of crazy stuff over there, and I actually really want to find this field. Apparently my mom and dad have actually been there, so it's really cool. Along with other spooky things, such as the Gravity Hill scenario, where you take your car out there, you park it on there, you put it in neutral, and against all odds, your car is actually pulled up the hill. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy, so it's kind of interesting, too, so, yeah, we're just finding all kinds of crazy stuff to talk to you about. Now, if you remember a little bit ago, we actually had the universal remote to end all universal remote. I think this thing could, like, operate your TV, well, of course it would operate your TV. Your TV, your lights, every piece of electronic hardware that you have plugged in and around your TV. And it also came with, the remote wasn't the important part, the remote came with a device that you put under there to have all of the things interact together. So now this isn't anything like that. This isn't anything nearly that crazy, but it's actually the world's largest remote. So it's a gigantic remote. The picture they have in this, it has the guy's hand holding the remote, and it's for $35. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 42, 38, something like that, buttons on this thing. It's really crazy, but the thing is, a grown man's hand only covers 3 rows of buttons. So it looks like it's nearly a foot long, and I just thought, you know, hey, that's gigantic. Hey, we should probably link that up for the Caffeination Spooky Edition, because anything that big has to be frightening, right? All right, moving right along, because, you know, I think that's pretty much a stretch here. But we have a Nerdcore Hip Hop Album Halloween Edition, so linked from over at Slashdot. I've actually downloaded it. The only problem with it is a lot of it, the music isn't necessarily child-safe, so shall we say. Now, Nerdcore, what would you call that? It's a subgenre of rap hip-hop that's all about geek culture and nerd lingo and stuff like that, so it's a whole bunch of geeky lyrics and everything like that, and so-called fat beats. We've actually had a Nerdcore superstar allow us to place his music on our podcast. So if you look back in the very early selection of the Caffeination podcast, we had MC Frontalot rock the podcast, and we're probably going to be bringing some of his music back. But still, we wanted to give you a link to the story over on Slashdot, and then you can head on over to the website. These are freely downloadable albums of entire, you know, selections of the Nerdcore subgenre. So it was pretty spooky because it's the Halloween edition. Some of the songs are really good on there. Some of them not so much. Usually with the Nerdcore, the thing that I've noticed isn't necessarily the quality of the music behind it or even the intelligence of the lyrics, so to speak, but it's rather the recording quality of the lyrics seems to be lacking. So, I mean, some of the vocal tracks are a little bit scratchy, but it's really interesting music, a lot of it. So you can head on over there and check it out. It's at, actually, rhymetorrents.com/Halloween, but we linked up to the Slashdot article because we thought it was pretty funny. Now, just a crazy little geek gadget that we found out there. You know what a Bic pen looks like. Basically, a little click pen. You click the back, and you click the back end, little silver button on the top of it, and then the ballpoint pen comes out the front. You click it again, the ballpoint pen retracts. Well, now take this idea and import it into the realm of thumb drives. There's a button on the back, you click it down, and the thumb drive pops out. You click it again, the thumb drive pops back in. 4 gigabytes and apparently 7 inches long. So this thing is a keeper if it's a trout. It's a relatively large drive, not exactly the, what was it, 12 gigs that we found here last time, and no word on price that I saw here, but it's kind of interesting. I really like the idea, because a lot of the students that I work with, they lose the caps for these thumb drives, and then they don't understand, they throw the drive in their pocket, and then they wonder why the static electricity erased some of their data as they walked around. So, I mean, hey, so if you lost your cap, don't put it in your pocket, but still, this is a really good idea, and I think it's actually going to catch on. And then we have two more things here. Robots in the walls. No. These are robots under your feet. Apparently the crazy guys from over in Japan actually made a robot that goes through the flooring in the bottom of your house. And it can fit into spaces that are 20 inches wide and 11.8 inches tall. So, and there's a little remote camera and everything. So this is really good for like bomb sniffing dogs and everything. There's no video of it, which is actually really disappointing. I've had a lot of great feedback from, first of all, the chair video from last week, because I thought that was amazing. And then the robots fighting. I mean, I really love that little red robot from the last show that, it was like jogging around the arena. It had, actually had a personality, had a fighting style. I mean, that was awesome, especially the fact that it like body slammed, like choke slammed another robot. I mean, how cool is that, you know? All right, and then the last thing we have here in the Tech Tidbit section is actually a return of Tidit Today. Tidit Today is this day in tech today. All right, geezers in space from the pigs in space thing, but ST-95, the flight out of NASA from this day in 1998, relaunched astronaut John Glenn into the outer space. Actually, it launched October 29th, 1998, and returned November 7th, 1998. Was designed to experiment on elderly people in space to see the effects of space travel on those of advanced years. So, congratulations on actually returning home. Kind of interesting, but still. Hey, that's what happened today. It was kind of geeky, so I decided to throw it up here. All right, now we have our next selection from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have Ron Hellman Jazz Ensemble and his song Witch Hunt. So, again, this is a little bit of a different genre than the one we started out with here today on the podcast, so I hope you enjoy it. But again, this is Ron Hellman Jazz Ensemble, The Witch Hunt. Let me know what you think. again, everybody, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. That was Ron Hellman's Jazz Ensemble with the song The Witch Hunt. So I hope you liked that. Hope you liked how that turned out. We've been trying to find very eclectic music here. If there's something that you like, please feel free to tell us. If there's something that you don't, please, again, feel free to let us know. So far, as I say, we've been receiving a lot of positive feedback here on the Cavination from the different songs we've been playing and, the different areas that we've been poking into with, tech news and coffee and all that other stuff. So we're glad to put out some interesting content there, and hopefully everybody's enjoying it. Again, if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, you can find it at www.caffinaton.com. That's caffination.com. You can send all of your listener comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail over to caffination@gmail.com, and you can join our MySpace friends account at myspace.com/caffination. All right, a little bit of general information. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Our show is also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site that specializes in allowing shows to kind of interlink. It's kind of like the MySpace of podcasts. It's a really interesting place to show up and look around, see exactly what all the other people are listening to, all the shows that are on there. It's a real good place if you have a podcast to promote it, and it's kind of an interesting way. It's also one of the ways that we actually got our advertising deal here, so I hope everybody's enjoying everything that we're doing. And finally, last but certainly not least, please head on over to my personal blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog to see some of the related but not necessarily the same stories that you're seeing here. I mean, everything has its genesis back in this podcast, because frankly, this is the most successful personal thing I've done other than my marriage and... everything else, but I mean, all the other stuff I've tried, I've tried the fledgling web design company, I've tried just blogging on its own, but I have to really admit, I'm surprised at how well this podcast has taken off, and I really like to thank all the people that have been listening for a long time. Thank you very much for tuning in, sticking around, giving us feedback whenever you see fit, and to all of our new listeners out there, hi, and thank you very much for giving us a shot. Hopefully you're still listening 35 minutes into the podcast right about now, but still, we strive to make interesting stuff here. At the Caffeination, hope that it gets on through the same way we intend it to. But on to our caffeinated bits section today. Again, we're running a little bit lean, but we do have some content from Mike, our listener, who emailed us earlier about RSS. He also wanted to point out a news story that, now we've talked about this before, but we don't like to mention it, but there's actually a brother of coffee, a stepchild, if you will, of the noble cocoa plant, the noble Java bean. We don't like to talk about it very much here. It's called decaf coffee. It's the watered down version of our beverage of choice here. We are the Caffeination, not the decaffeination. So if I ever actually have to drop caffeine out of my diet, this is going to be a really hard show to produce. We're actually going to have to really do like a complete revamp. Here's knocking on wood. But still, now we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but apparently there's been another study out there that says decaf coffee is not exactly decaffeinated. Now, we've told you this, so if you have a problem with caffeine, what you want to go with is caffeine-free products. And if you have a problem with preservatives and things like that, you want to go with naturally decaffeinated coffee. Now, we've talked a little bit in the past, especially about how things become decaffeinated. Now, in the realm of coffee, there's two methods in which one can decaffeinate coffee. There is no naturally caffeine-free version of coffee, but apparently Folgers Crystals decaf has no caffeine in it ever. And the way that they measured the caffeinated content within these drinks is they went to different baristas, they went to different places where you can buy coffee, and sampled them and then measured them in a lab. And they have a range, so apparently, according to these people, Starbucks... Let me see if I can find that one. Yeah, they took 12 samples of Starbucks decaffeinated espresso and brewed decaffeinated coffee. The espresso drinks had from 3 to 15 milligrams each, and the brewed coffee had from 12 to 13 milligrams per 16-ounce drink. Now, in comparison, there's like 170 milligrams of coffee in a normal cup of coffee. But still, I mean, that's a measurable amount of caffeine if you're sensitive to the chemical compound, but still... It's pretty impressive because they found differences within the different places. Now, I'm very likely to attribute the differences between the different places to how they grind their beans. I didn't notice the last time I was in a Starbucks, but I'm pretty sure they use the same coffee grinder for all their beans. The same style of them. So it's very possible that a caffeinated blend will go through and then a decaffeinated blend will go through. So, I mean, I could see where that would come out. And some of the other examples, alright, here's how you get decaffeinated coffee. The one most primary method is where they basically soak the coffee in a chemical that's akin to formaldehyde. It's not formaldehyde, but it's very similar. Then they rinse the beans off, which is supposedly essentially removes all of this, the chemical out of there, but the chemical seeps the caffeine out of it, which leaves a small trace amount. Then the other method of decaffeinated coffee is they basically quick brew the coffee. They run really hot water through it. It's called the Swiss water method. They run really hot water through it, which pulls all the initial burst of caffeine out. And then they re-dry all the grounds and repackage them for sale. Now, this method produces less robust coffee beans. But if you're a stickler for the natural way of doing things, then you might want to pick up Swiss water method decaffeinated coffee. But still, that's just how it rolls in the decaffeinated vein, and that's probably going to be one of the last times we talk about it. Not a big fan. We don't like to talk about it, you know what I mean? But still, then we have another link from I Need Coffee, and if you look on November 1st, we're actually going to have a link from I Need Coffee to our recipe up there. So this is a recipe for crazy coffee. Now, it's not Irish coffee. It's bourbon coffee. It's one cup of fresh coffee, one shot of bourbon, one teaspoon of sugar. Gotta love simplicity. I'm gonna leave the rest up to you as to how exactly you mix it. And no, it isn't like a shot of tequila, lipstick, and suck, or whatever it is, but still. It's pretty sure you just put them all in a mug and rip from there. But I really have to try that the next time we have bourbon around here, but kind of interesting. And I wonder why somebody would actually put a recipe out there for that. I mean, three ingredients, pretty simple, but still. It's been a great show today, hopefully you liked everything you heard. Again, you can find this episode over at www.caffeination.com, that's caffeination.com. You can send all of your listener suggestions, comments, hate mail, whatever else you feel like throwing at us, at caffeination@gmail.com, and you can find our MySpace friends account over at myspace.com/caffeination, our personal blogs over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog, and this podcast has been brought to you by the letter C. C is for coffee, and that's good enough for me. So you know what, everybody? Thanks for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.